Blog Talk Radio.
Hi all, and welcome to Cosmic Voice again. It has been such a long time since we had a Sunday show, and I hope you're all looking forward to it. I know I am. We're going to have Jeff Harvey with a single F, apologies to him, who was on the show on Thursday, and Jerry Avalos, who some of you may have seen on the Kerry Cassidy videos, and obviously Drake as well. And on that note, I'm going to hand you over to Drake to introduce them. Hi, Drake.
Hi. Hello. I've been cogitating and thinking and viewing and remembering my education in Vortex Technologies in terms of the obvious impossibility to translate higher dimensional physics into three-dimensional physics. And here's what I've come up with, and I'll let everybody chew on this any way they like. Everybody knows what a vortex is. That's a tornado. That's the way the water goes down the drain. The manner in which the water goes down the drain is significant because in the northern hemisphere it goes one way, in the southern hemisphere it goes the other. And when you get into the fun and games of learning exactly how things are translated at a 90-degree angle in terms of twists, turns, and polarities, you begin to understand. Now, here's how this works. When you have opposing vortexes, such as north and south hemispheres, several things should be noted. They are different. That's pretty obvious. Number two, hemisphere. This means half a spherical, meaning that you chop the planet in half at the equator and you get north and south. Then if you want to take this a step further, the fun begins. And this is going to kind of warp some minds. There's a picture on the Facebook page everybody kind of went gaga over, and it is an energimata representation in terms of a vortices presentation. Most people do not understand that. In terms of what you see, you only are getting the visual presentation of a two-dimensional circular object. We would equate it to an object because we think it has a side similar to it on the other side and or different, whatever it may be. It's like when you draw something and it's a solid object, you cannot see the opposing side. Don't work that way unless you've got X-ray vision, and I don't know too many Supermen, so we leave that one alone. Here's how this goes. When you have a singular dynamic in energimata that produces auxiliary, and I mean this quite literally and quite simply, and it's normal and natural, auxiliary vortices in opposition according to polarity, north and south hemisphere, remember that, north and south poles, magnetics, gravitational, you've got a whole bunch of energimati type things in this. The energimatic interesting part is this. You take the two vortex. In other words, what you would see when the water goes down the drain, and you stick, and this is interesting, this is the fun part, stick the open vortex the other open, and you get a spherical dynamic equivalent and equating to the sum of the parts plus, and you've heard the expression, the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. Ah, here we go. Within that, you create the dynamic that allows for and causes a shift in the parameters of what you are viewing. That's where you're getting this energy from, this little picture that you're looking at. What happens is that it attunes to a combination of the viewer and all of the cosmos. In terms of all of the cosmos, the basic parameter is a spherical dynamic in perfect opposition to itself without any impediment. Now, anybody ever seen that cute little thing where you got the yin and the yang, one's white, one's dark, and they're in a perfect circle and perfectly circular? circular, in terms of the expression of each of those is equal. Now you're beginning to get the picture. This is where the dynamics of that cute little symbol that everybody looks at and sees comes in. This is the play of symbolism and visual capabilities. In short, man is designed to see patterns. When you get to the point where you see the full patterns, you will look at an object and you will see the dynamics of the atomic pattern involved in it, in whatever it is. This is how far your sight can go, and it ain't limited to that. So, we have a combination of things going on. Now, that's the physical portion. Add to this the ethereal portion, the reality of the ether being that you are a dynamic energy being. Consequently, energies do have an effect on you, be they simple, stupid things like the phone I got in my hand, cell phones, and other broadcast technologies that man thinks are so cool. What you end up with is influences by those outputs on your basic formulation, which would be expressed as an aura or auric valuation. Your chakras, your mental state stability, your capability to access kundalini and higher realms are all influenced by these things. Once these things are understood, then, and only then, and you don't got to have a great understanding other than what I presented here, which is simplistic, in order to do it, you say, that's pretty cool, and you accept the fact that I feel a good energy out of that. This sort of thing goes and bodes to what we're going to deal with. Most people don't understand the knowledge I hold in terms of physics in relation to where you're sitting right now. I was given a task to take the knowledge of the ancients and equate it into modern physics. I've done this to an extent. I did it for several years with a number of research personnel at varying levels. Some of the outcomes have been seen in some of the advances made recently. They're not able to totally correlate into the physical what it takes to key things to cause them to happen quite yet. This little sphere on the Facebook page is the exception to the rule of linear development. In other words, the Incas and Aztecs did not have 2 million years to watch the stars and come out with their formulations. Not possible. They also did not have the mathematical capability within them, their own right, in terms of a progression of advancement in order to be able to stipulate within a few seconds the beginning and ending of great cycles and the effects those things would have. So you have to understand, acceptance is involved. The outing of knowledge to individuals so that they can understand it was another part. ET's been here teaching, some good, some bad. There's a lot of bad that has been perpetrated into our societal structure. I would like to rectify that, and that's one of the reasons for this show. In order to become more of what you should have been all along, we introduce people that just simply put little things out. And with that, I'm going to turn the floor over to he who would like to speak first, and I'm not sure which one that's going to be, so speak up.
Jerry? Jerry?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi. We were introduced to Jeff on Thursday. Can you give us a brief synopsis of who and what you are, please?
Sure.
For our listeners.
Yeah. I'm Jerry Avalos, as I've been introduced here, and I guess it's kind of hard to know where to start with me in this sense, but I guess how I got into the aspect of quantum entanglement, I guess, is understanding more of my personal lucid dream situations. I was born a lucid dreamer, so I've always been awake on the other side, which actually started getting into intuitive applications very early on in life, which actually then leads into some more of the bizarre encounters relating to how Jake was just saying there, relating with ET stuff, certain types of, you can say, secret government projects. And that's the aspect of myself getting to directly relating to this type of situation, but then also with, in terms of what I'm doing now with the quantum technology, my background comes from art and fabrication, so I have an art and fabrication background. And so I want the two got merged, and now we have some really interesting technology that can do some pretty profound. Have a quick update, not a quick introduction, but I think we'll probably talk a lot more as we go.
Right, okay, thanks for that, Jerry. It was just breaking up a bit. Jeff?
Right here.
Hi. Do you and Jerry want to do a chat together? Which way do you want to go with it? Do you want to talk some more?
It doesn't really matter because Jerry has... one of the reasons why I like what Jerry does is he has taken his time with the Montauk chair stuff that has affected him, and he has been able to spin that into his use of quantum physics. And he took to the SE5 like a duck to water because he sees intuitively from childhood the way things are interconnected. And I'm going to give an example because he'll be able to elucidate this further as well. When I was very little, we're talking like 5, 6, 7 years old, you would have, as most children, you've got a lucky stone or a marble or whatever it is. And these things are things that are precious to you because you have imbued them with a lot of your own energy, and you have actually moved the etheric plane to link to them through you. And for the rest of your life, if you can find one of those objects, you have a quantum tunnel. Now, there's something that Jerry and I are going to probably bring out here today because there's an effect that we use the SE5 with. And basically, it's called time scanning. And it's only for people who own an SE5 and went through the advanced training that we teach it. But basically, we can take a look back in time using the device and scanning back through the centuries to find periods in time or past lifetimes where some particular influence caused something to happen in your etheric and subtle bodies way back then that links to them today. So when you look at some particular malady, perhaps, or issue that's happened in this lifetime, you can scan back in time and you can find what it was that actually was the root cause of it in another lifetime. Now, I'm bringing this up because when Drake was talking about this, there is an experiment you've all heard of probably called the double slit experiment, where they take an electron beam and they put it through two separate slits. And those slits on the outside has a collector plate on the back, and depending on which one of those slits it goes through will depend on what you get for a pattern. Now, on one of them, you get a beam pattern all the time hitting the back. On the other one, you get a scatter pattern. So the scientists that were doing this decided to find out why the observer effect causes such a thing. And this ties directly to the little stone I'm talking about that you might have had as a child. All right, so on one of these slits, basically, they put a detector set to detect the actual beam coming in going as it goes through the slit. Now, what they found was is they took the data from each of those, from the detectors and from the output. And what they did was is they put it in an envelope. And what they did was they ran the 160 times they ran the experiment. And they got the same results. You know, they would open up the envelopes, look at the data, and they would see that they had a scatter pattern on one and a straight beam on the other one. And what they found was is that if they took one of the envelopes from one of those detector experiments on the input side and they destroyed that envelope, shred it, burn it, whatever, that one would no longer put out a straight beam anymore. it would show a scatter pattern as well. So what happened there? Basically, when you look at the experiment and you observe, you are hitting those pieces of data with scalar waves that come from both hemispheres of your brain, and that affects them, and that's what causes the change in the output. So the same thing, and we call it quantum erasure, because you're going back in time to erase the input signal by not viewing it. And we do the same thing with the SE5. Jerry has been playing with this as well. So do you want to add something to this, Jerry?
Yeah, and I think that just a kind of funny synchronicity actually relating to those structural links. I happened to actually just find one of my own a couple of days ago, which was the a little plastic toy version of the Challenger space shuttle. So, and I think that synchronistically came up with the opportunity of this show, which is interesting because, you know, there's a lot of important stuff here that we're sharing. I'm sure that obviously that's why we're both here talking about it. And in terms of the structural link aspect and maybe elaborating a little bit on that, I think that this is one of those things that I think a lot of people have an opportunity here. You don't necessarily need to buy anything from anyone. You can use things from the past like we're talking about here, and you can facilitate your own type of healing or quantum eraser effect with your own intention, finding one of these pieces, going back to that point in time where you got it, and then rectifying maybe mental, physical, or emotional traumas there. And this is very similar to what the ancient shamans would do with the basically on the journey for soul retrieval. So that's one of the common terms that was used back in the day in terms of ancient applications. And this is one of the things that Jeff and I constantly talk about, is how we recognize the correlations between a lot of the ancient teachings and a lot of what modern science has been saying, including the concept of these different amplitude modulations relating to the IDFs on the SP5. They can easily, in a way, be set to even a musical note. And this is part of our research, too. We want to verify that some of these codes that are shared, we're theorizing that if we set some of these amplitude modulations to a regular C scale, they're probably going to hear a lot of familiar melodies coming back at us relating to, you know, say, joyfulness and things like that. Like, it just seems that the more that we're looking into it, just kind of tying into what even Drake was introducing with the vortex water treatment, we're seeing a relationship of geometric form. And I say that geometric form, not so much just geometry, because a lot of times this form isn't necessarily static, how Jeff was talking about in relation to the interference patterns. So these interference patterns create an overall sort of net form at the vertices of which they're coming in contact, but it's very similar to a binaural beat concept. So those in the audience who are familiar with that, think about what we're doing and even what every single individual is doing with their brain as a similar concept. And those sort of interference patterns, or those interferograms, those correlate with this information layer that we're dealing with. So the whole concept of structural links is another thing that we deal with all the time, and that is, the more practically you can apply it, the more effective we are, Jeff and I, at manufacturing. But then also, the more this term becomes common, the more same that we can utilize our own structural links and heal ourselves with our own meditation practices and so forth. So, you know, that's one of the things that we realize here, and I'm sure this is why we're on this show, is because, you know, what's going on is a type of soul war, in a sense, and we need to be able to get everyone as able-bodied and ready as we can. So this is one of the things that we definitely like sharing. It's not just the technical information, but what you can do without necessarily having to buy anything. So it's very important. As you say, Jeff, we're all in this together, right?
You bet. And there's one other key item, too, that we should remember. You see Jerry and I playing with the information field that surrounds the cells for you know, set basically 17 different items, 17,000 different items. That's how many code sets we have in the database, which is just about everything in the human body you can imagine. You know, we're talking about organs and glands and tissue and secretions, bones, muscles, everything, neurons, you name it. We have codes for them. But let's remember that what we're doing here with the SE5 is we're actually affecting the field of information that surrounds the cell or the particle. We are not directly affecting the cell. And a lot of people call or ask for consults, and they want to work on physical issues. And I explain to them, I say, you have to remember that you've got a couple of things being active when we're doing this. We all know that we work on the etheric level. We have subtle energy bodies. And the SE5 has gobs of codes just to work on those items. We're talking about subtle bodies, subtle energies, directional energies within your body. And you've got directional energies that go up and down, right and left, and in vortexes, as Drake was talking about, in your body. So you've got many different things you have to relegate to. Then you have elemental energies that affect you. Every element that's in the earth affects you. Every single thing in the universe affects you. And so when we're working on, as you know, I'm board certified in nutrition and I practice homotoxicology. So I build detox protocols to help people clean their bodies up physically, and I utilize the SE5 to energetically repair the information fields that surround the cells. Two totally different aspects. One is physical and one is non-physical. Even though those information fields tell the cells how to act, it's more of an etheric thing that we're doing. So there's a separate area there that you have to look at. And just like Drake was talking about in the different hemispheres, you have a different way that the water will circle down the drain. Crystals, when they form in the northern hemisphere, have a different aspect than crystals that form in the southern hemisphere. One hemisphere, they're great for healing, and the other side, they're great for metaphysical exploration. So, again, the energies that come up through the earth in vortexes affect those things. They also affect you. And when we go through homotoxicology studies, we learn about geomagnetic stresses and things like that that affect people. And most people don't realize that if you go to Europe, when they put the power lines in a home, the 110 volts or whatever it happens to be they're running, I think they're 220 or something, but whatever it is, they put them through a copper pipe. And the reason why they do that is because in the U.S., we just string the wires haphazardly through the walls. They just drill a hole through a stud, run the wire through, and now those wires are putting out EMF interference, which you'd say, well, that's no big deal. It's 60 hertz. It's no big deal. Until you realize that your brain communicates down through the spinal column at 60 hertz. So you take a young baby that's in their crib, and its crib's up against the wall, and those wires are running right next to it. As long as that child is within 3 feet of that magnetic field, it is destroying the way the brain causes the formation of their neurological system. And you can see this in children when they get into grade school and preschool. So it's very important that you understand that. You understand that ley lines, as the energies come up, they can also cause damage to the human organism. Then you also have to remember we've got all of the EMF out there, like cell phones, cordless phones, you name it. Now, there's a doctor by the name of Dietrich Klinghart who's on the web who is from Germany, and he's got a formula that they have worked out over several years, and it matches what we were doing when I was going through my boards, working on people. And this is where the quantum tunneling effect comes in that's important. They've found that, you know, you have to deal with the infections in the body, your inflammations. You've got to go in there and you've got to take care of mold. You've got to take care of heavy metals. And you have to take care of all the detox items. Now, you can use different things to detox the body, and you can also use the SE5 to line up those information fields. But what they found was is that there are emotional locks that we put in ourselves, either in past lifetimes or in this lifetime, from emotional traumas that will lock in the heavy metals into your system. So when you do chelation, like EDTA chelation, or maybe a Heal Detox Kit or a Douglas Labs Detox Kit, you can get a certain amount of metals out. The problem is you won't get them all out. And the reason why is if you have unresolved emotional issues that you haven't thought your way through or felt your way through and faced, you will lock the heavy metals in. And they've actually seen where they take people who they get a little out and they know they're still toxic, and they run a basically, you sit down and you work through your psychological traumas that you've had over your lifetime since birth, and they find that now when they run their detox, gobs of heavy metals come out. And what's interesting is that it allows you to get them out, and they've found that anyone with heavy metals has mold and candida issues. Anyone who's got mold and candida issues have heavy metal deposition in their system. And cadmium turns out to be the guy that's last out the door. So let's say you're able to work out your psychological issues and you get all of those things taken care of and you start dumping your heavy metals, and now all of a sudden the heavy metals start ebbing down to almost nothing coming out anymore. You pretty much have got it cleaned out, but cadmium still keeps coming. Turns out cadmium is the longest held metal in the body and very damaging. And you know where it comes from? Out of your water heater in your home. It deposits in the pipes at night, and that first 30 seconds you run the water, you're getting a massive dose of that. So the best way to do things is when you get up in the morning, turn that water on and run it. So as you can see, everything ties in from the physical to the emotional to the astral and etheric when we're dealing with time scanning and solving issues for, well, your lifetime and your previous lifetimes and your body.
Yeah, and actually there's something I just wanted to throw on top of that. When you mentioned the 60 hertz cycle of the power here in America, and pretty much this concept that I'm going to share pretty much goes with every country, is that those signals beyond just what we know, how degrading they can be just by themselves. Keep this in mind, that there are certain types of entities, people, corporations, whatever, who actually will use that 60 hertz to send and receive information off of too. If we can think of it kind of like any other radio frequency. And then what we're doing, for instance, even with the SE5 is a type of amplitude modulation. And so you can theoretically do the exact same thing with the power line. So this is one of those things just to take into consideration as well, that the power line, the power grid is actually also being used against us to agitate beyond just what the physical impact is with just by itself. And then you put on information on that. So this is another reason why, we feel it's very important. I think all of us in a way feel intrinsically that it's very important to get this type of information and technology out to counter what is pretty apparently going on, just aimed at the masses anyways. And you'll have different whistleblowers will talk about that. That was one of the things that come out of the Montauk research too, about how they broadcast types of very antagonistic types of thought forms. It keeps everyone in a state to be easily manipulated. And as we know, and this is one thing that I know I really appreciate about this audience, because I know for the most part everyone's going to be very well versed on some of these things in terms of the dastardly people out there. So if we think about that, we know that there is a concerted effort to reduce the population, to subjugate as much as possible. And that's one of the reasons why this information really is pretty dangerous to that agenda, because we have this type of counterflow where we can put specific information and negate other things, and how even having someone in a positive mind frame can result in some very positive or very beneficial creations, or epiphanies, and they really do help change things. So,
Jerry, this question is to Jerry or Jeff. How long has this or these maltechs been used against the public?
Wow.
Boy, when I was military intelligence, it was, I'll give you some examples of when I was in military intel. This is back in the 70s. We would record the president, and we would edit his voice, and we'd make him say all kinds of things that he didn't say. And what the way we do that is in those days, you know, you could record off of somebody's window their speech pattern. And you remember in the old spy movies, they would turn on the radio so they couldn't be taped while they were talking. Well, that's nothing. We can easily reverse that, because back in the 70s, we would simply pick the signal off the window pane, and we would take the music portion, invert the signal, which would nullify it, and the only thing left would be the voice. So we could do that. And then what I did was, it was kind of fun, because I worked in the intelligence center on the John F. Kennedy, and I got pretty easily bored in those days, and I was called into the commander's office one time, the intelligence officer's office. He wanted to go over some of the briefings that we were doing for the pilots and how the equipment was running, you know, just a basic talk. And so it was a lot of fun, because I explained to him, I said, you know, you guys really need to do a little more on sweeping around here. And he goes, what do you mean? He said, well, you're an intelligence center, and I haven't noticed anybody doing any sweeping, you know, for bugs and things. And he goes, bugs? What do you mean? And I said, well, you see that electrical outlet down there on the wall, the 110 volts? All I have to do is go in behind that, put an electric condenser mic in behind it, pick off the signal in the room, and I can do it so sensitively, you can whisper across the room, and I'll catch your whisper, and it will travel down the 110-volt lines to the first transformer. I can pick it off and get a perfectly clean reproduction, and you'll never know you were bugged, ever. Now, that was a lot of fun, because you could see the gears turning and the wood burning back there in his eyes. And we pulled into port the next day, and I went out on Liberty and had a meal and relaxed. And when I came back aboard, we come into the intelligence center on the O3 level. We have to go into a little vestibule, which has a box in it up above your head. And there's a flap over it, so you can't see inside the box. You reach inside, and you press the keys on a cipher lock in a certain pattern, and the door will open. So it's a level of security. So you go in there, and the first thing inside the door is a door guard. And sometimes it's just a guy sitting there taking notes, and other times it's a guy with an assault rifle. So this day I go in, and there's a jarhead in there, a really nice guy. We had him on Liberty together a few times. And I said, special occasion? And he gave me that look like, yep, get ready. So I walked back, and I went past the commander's office and into mission planning, and there was a guy with a briefcase walking around and sweeping. And there was a group of officers there and enlisted people, and this is my workspace because that's where my equipment was in mission planning, and they're all looking at me like I'm the guest of honor. So I went over and I looked at his box, you know. I just said, oh, okay, you got a sweeper. About time you guys got here. So how'd you make out? And he said, we didn't find anything. Well, I knew he wasn't going to find anything because after I made that comment to the commander, I wasn't going to leave bugs laying around. But evidently they had searched every single box and drawer for all my components, my workspace, my bunker, my lockers, everything, just to see whether or not there's anything surreptitious going on. So you can run that stuff down power lines, and we found out years later that the power companies, they're using it to do some pretty nasty stuff at your home. So just bear in mind that what you say at home doesn't stay at home.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it doesn't.
I'm sorry?
I agree. It doesn't stay at home. I think a lot of listeners will be surprised at the levels of intrusion.
Yeah,
it's pretty pervasive.
You want to get into the fun of it.
try the newer technology where they use a system similar to the Vortex technology that we're talking about here. And what it does is it actually redefines and aligns the electronic systems in close proximity to you to your brain waves. And people can actually listen in your voice what you're thinking. It's really fun.
Yeah, this is something they've been experimenting with quite a while, and it looks like now they've got it pretty well perfected.
Yeah, it's like the ability to, even with your computer turned off, they can turn it on through the power connection. In other words, if you don't unplug the mother, both of them, there's two plug-ins, one to the Intel, whether that's the Internet or however that works, in whatever manner, and the power system, they can turn your computer on, do anything they want.
Yeah,
among other things.
Yeah,
well, they used to be a nice little thing on the conspiracy theorems about being able to reverse look through a TV set and see what was going on in a room. And I had a smart-ass physicist who was also an agent got on one time with me and wanted to know exactly how that worked. So I explained it to him, and he about crapped. He said, "You've done your homework." Yes, sir. So there's stuff out there, guys. Everybody listening needs to know. You can forget anything that you thought about in terms of privacy. Now, that's evidenced in you go online, go to buy something, or even look at a few websites where they're offering print cartridges for your computer system or whatever. And all of a sudden you get these pop-up ads saying, "Hey, man, I got the best widget on that in the town." Now, you want to know how they do that? They know exactly what you're doing. Who does?
Yes.
Think the NSA's got time to do that? You're out of your mind. They want to know something. They go to Walmart, Kmart, the local bank, or wherever, and just say, "Okay, we need to know about this dude." Bingo. All the information then is, from that perspective, is available. When you do the retail and you understand the tracking involved in retail so that they can sell you two of them, it gets it goes to a point of this giving somebody the screaming memes. You think Santa Claus is, he's everywhere, and all that stuff is funny. It's gone way past funny. Now what they're doing is they are beginning to try to introduce coding and codexes into the normal transmission modus that we use, be that a cell phone, computer, laptop, don't matter, being on a security camera somewhere. All of these things can be used in reverse rather than just recording or looking at you or figuring out what you're doing to try to cause you to have emotional responses, panic attacks, I think somebody's after me, or whatever they feel like they want to do in terms of the general population. The problem they've had so far is that people are catching them at doing this. Now, there's a group called Anonymous. Well, there's about four other ones out there that I'm aware of that countermand these things. They screw up the programming in such a manner that they are lucky to recover in general. But this is an ongoing effort. Now, these are the bad guys. These are not, as such, a general policy of what you would consider this or that or the other agency or a division of government. However, it's there, and these boys are using it to the fullest. That's where the popcorn machine came in terms of our broadcast. I would imagine some people could hear that, fading in and out and whatever. This is the fan club that does not want any of this information of any type that will empower the people out there. So I'll leave that as it is, and everybody can go back to oiling their guns or something.
Right. We should talk about some blocking technologies here, because there's several things available. First of all, don't volunteer your information, and what that means is things like at the grocery store. Don't sign up for their little card that gives you an extra 2% off when you buy, a bag of shrimp or something. All of your purchases then get tracked, and that's where they get these databases from. They pass on. So don't volunteer. Just throw that stuff out, because the discounts aren't that big and they don't last that long anyway. They were just there to get you to sign up. Number two, Jerry and I have been working on a couple of different blocking technologies. Jerry, you want to go over the one for working on the power as it comes into your house so you can make it less damaging?
Yeah, definitely. And on that subject, just to add something to the one of the capabilities that in terms of listening goes, one of my colleagues who has some actually NSA background had said that from his experience that he knows that they can technically hack into something as old as like an Apple IIe from across the street even if it's off. So it gives you an idea of some of the physical manipulators that have been are available on that side. And so how Jeff was saying on this side, you know, we what we like to do is that a lot of these things, like even how Drake was mentioning these feelings of anxiety, paranoia, sadness, anger, depression, all of these things that we is something that we actually do have codes for, and we can blast the anti-wave and then put on the, you know, the opposite, so to speak. You know, we'll put joy, creativity, inspiration. And that what we can essentially do is target the electrical lines themselves or the phone lines themselves at certain places to where essentially anything that's going to pass through there is going to get hit with that information field from this from the source. It's going to be more, in a sense, fresh than, say, the signal traveling down the lines or whatever the origin is of the, let's say, the interference pattern of on the native side. And so here we put in the positive one, and that's going to be much more in congruence with most of what people are going to want to see during the day. So in that sense, this is where, as individuals, feel empowered because it takes them using the entire grid, it takes them using whatever satellites they got up there to try to counteract your brain. And that's pretty much what it comes down to because our apparatuses are capable of doing this. And then so what Jeff and I are doing is we'll encode the information to help, you know, spiritually, subconsciously, however you want to put it, remind ourselves and our bodies to basically stay in this type of congruency. And so when we're talking about a field effect and the information that we're affecting now, this gets into the obviously the quantum mechanics aspect of when we look at matter beyond just what people might perceive of it as marbles. So everything's a type of waveform. So when we have this waveform present, and then we, say, introduce ours that is more on a what would be called a sympathetic resonance with, say, ourselves who want to succeed, we want to be happy, it's going to be more likely the probability is that the all the negative stuff that's being blasted just isn't going to work. It's just going to bounce off and go away, and you're not even going to know it's there. And so this is why I think that if we think about it, And just, you know, Jane and Joe Average's house out there, I think this is why we see so many pictures of flowers or beaches or all these kind of things, because even on that subtle conscious level, these things actually do help counteract what is being broadcast and trying to hinder us. And then in terms of just a side note that I love to share, you know, being someone who's been practicing intuitive applications for quite a while, a lot of these bandwidths of technology that can hear the thought patterns, a lot of them, and at least some more of the older tech, in a sense, the level of sort of surveillance that's possible. So, like, say, like, for instance, I'm sure the audience has been, say, in a classroom or even at a movie and say they're watching it and they're thinking of a song, like, oh, wow, I wonder if that person would do this. That's about as deep as a lot of the physical scan, like the normal physical scans can do. So if you're really worried about someone getting into your head, listen to your favorite song in your head. And it's kind of like having the volume turned up really loud in the room when someone's trying to bug the room. So that's like another thing. If you really know what's happening, just sing your favorite song to yourself in your head, because as many of us know, we have many more than just one bandwidth of thought going on in our mind. So that's one of the physical things you can do to kind of scramble it up as well.
Can I throw something in?
Yeah,
no, please do. Yeah.
Okay, well, in my training over the years, I started when I was in grade school reading Psychological Parameters and Effects books. One of those that I recommend highly is The Hidden Persuaders. This is all the little nuances and fun and games they put in commercials that cause you want to go buy a Big Mac or whatever. You're having a Big Mac attack. You can taste it, ooh, or whatever. Okay. The simple and simplistic applications I was awestruck at because I found a book that covered some of that. And it was Question Everything is the name of it. And I don't know if it's still out and in print. I haven't checked. But what is stipulated in there was very simple. If you have a thought or an emotion that does not equate to anything that seems normal, question it. Do I really feel that way? Or where the hell did that come from? This sort of a challenge to a thought parameter, especially one that is injected rather than originated, and there's a big difference, the injected does not have the capability and power to, quote, rule your mind. This is where the ideology of electronic mind control kind of falls on its butt, big time. However, if you get enough people that are anxietal and they have some kind of something they can focus this on, such as a group of protesters all of a sudden become riotous, now you're beginning to get some of the ideology of the projectors you see. They don't just project static, physical statics to the point where you are getting shocked all over yourself and you want to leave real quick. It goes beyond that. That's not the only thing that they can project with one of those machines. And what you have to do is understand that, does that make sense? 99% of the time, it don't make no sense at all, and you go, bullshit, dismiss it, and move on. This is the base psychological parameters taught me in PSYOPs and a few other things. So, you know, people need to really grasp their own capabilities. Part of this technology will assist you in that, but you also need to know the rest of the story, which is, I'm going to interject from time to time, simplistics. In other words, if somebody out there can't afford a personal protective vortex device or don't have the capability of acquiring one for whatever reason, you can protect yourself in the manners presented. You don't give your information out. You don't tell people who you are all the time. Simple things that you can do and make them a habit in your everyday life, and you will find that you have a lot less of the quote, programmed agenda problems that everybody else does. You're not going to overextend your credit because somebody says you got to have that new car and the right kind of clothes and a specific type of house to live in the right place, hidden persuaders. You are going to find that you as an individual can stand apart from that. God says he procured unto himself a peculiar people. And you want to get peculiar when you are not subject any longer to the fun and games of the system. It screws with them badly, and I just love doing that. I like giving wedgies to people that deserve one. These people deserve a large wedgie, and that's basically what I got to say.
There's a piece of that that's really important, too. When I started working with radionics, people would come to me and they would say, well, how is it you get such good results with your machines? And I'm not getting great results right now. And I would always tell them, I'd say, because you have a weak mind. And they'd say, well, what do you mean by that? I'd say, well, it's very simple. If you're the kind of person who can't change their diet permanently, you have a weak mind. And many people in the secret societies and many of the families who have been brought up with a lot of the secret knowledge, they teach their children hermetic exercises very early in life to strengthen their mind so that influences from other people and organizations don't have the impact. Now, one of the books that's out there that does a reasonably good job is called Initiation into Hermetics by Franz Barden. And if you go around to the secret societies, you'll be hard-pressed to find anyone who didn't read it, because it's got a series of exercises on how to focus your mind to make it stronger. And just without a hologram, without any kind of scalar wave or high-tech anything, you can strengthen your mind to the point where no matter who walks up to you, let's say you're walking down the street and a cop walks up to you and he says, "What's your name?" or "What are you doing here?" you just look at him and ignore him. And the bottom line is you don't have to respond to people when they talk to you. You don't have to respond to anything. That's not your job. You're not here for their pleasure. And so when you get your mind strong enough that you can turn down that Big Mac, you can turn down that new car, that brand new PDA cell phone that puts out so darn much Wi-Fi, you know, when you can start saying, "Well, I don't need that," and all your peers are giving you pressure, and you still say, "Well, just because you've opted in for something less than intelligent doesn't mean I do." When you can get to that point, now the influence people can have on you is so nil, it's ridiculous. And what did it cost you? A little reading, a little studying, and a little practice.
I'm going to send you a copy of my first book that covers a lot of this stuff. I got a second book coming out that goes into the quantum leap areas.
Love to read it.
I'll send it to you. But this is in terms of strength of mind, one of two basic things. First, being able to turn off all the extemporaneous BS, whether it's TV, commercials, seeing the name of something, the keys, you hear... and all these voices.
Everybody cut out.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
So I got to check. Okay, we're back.
Yes. Jerry?
That's our fan.
Yeah, I'm here too.
Right, okay.
So are we all here now?
Yes, yeah. We are, Drake. Yeah.
I don't think they like what you were saying, Drake.
Okay. Well, yeah, of course not. They don't like the truth out. So basically here's how it is. You got one or two ways to go. Learning how to recognize and turn off the BS. I've got a better idea. Cha-ching. Those cute little songs. I want to teach the world to sing. Uh-huh. Right. They're trying to ingrain in you a program to recognize. And what happens is this. You've got another way to go. Meditation in its basic form. And I definitely cover this in the book. Me, myself, and I, and I will express this very simply. You have a choice. Listen to it or turn it off. Well, if you turn everything off, then the electronic impulse, let alone the sound and pictures and all that other happy stuff, goes away. Okay, what are you left with? The creaks and groans of the house. Well, ignore those. You're familiar with those. You know what those are. The ones that you don't know are the ones to be fully and absolutely suspicious of and to cut out. However, it's simple. Learn to be able to turn off even your own ideas and thoughts in your own mind to where you end up in a very, very singular place is a key in an exercise to give you the strength of mind to say no. When you're questioned about it, ask that dink what part of no they don't understand. You can do this to yourself. I said no, I don't want to hear that. Now, two levels of programming, your conscious, where you're aware and all this mind, and your subconscious mind. The interesting part is that a lot of the things you do consciously go directly to the overriding program of intent and purpose in terms of the program that your subconscious mind puts out for you to do and be. This is where that saying, you are exactly where you decided to be. Well, let's go back to the decided part. That's freedom of will. Yay, nay, go or stay, whatever you figure is right is okay. Well, you got a little thing called a conscience, and it'll tell you, no problem. So what do? Turn off the extemporaneous and get down to the crux of it and go, that one's BS, I can tell. It smells. Bingo. In these processes, you will find a strength of mind that you did not know you had. And it does build and go from there. It can go into great and extraordinary things, some of which are alluded to, some of the pathways to these things will be alluded to in the second book that is in process of being written as we speak. So you need to understand the dynamics of your mind, the idea that a song runs through your head can negate other things. That's perfect. Everybody's got one of them stupid songs that when you get it in your head, it won't leave you alone. You want to give them interference? Whoa, throw that one at them. That messes their little fun games all up. Now, I'm familiar with the present technologies to an extent that a computer system, and it doesn't matter which one it is, be it a laptop, tower, or whatever, even your cell phone, depending on its capabilities, has the capability to, honest to God, listen to you at levels you didn't think possible. It's been out there for years. It's going to continue to be out there until we decide to change that. Nobody has the right to your intimate information. So what you have to understand is how to guard your mind first. Secondly, your thoughts. Guard your thoughts. I mean, that's written in the Bible. I mean, you know, you have somebody, everybody needs to understand one thing. I'm not a religious type person. I do believe fully and completely. However, there's a whole lot of horse hockey that people have put into things that don't belong there at all. The Bible, the Quran, and several other of these texts are good, great examples of exactly that. How can you have, as an example, somebody that is your good big buddy in the sky that can change anything that needs to be changed so that you don't have warts or whatever the problem might be, turn around and go, you don't act right, I'm going to stick a lightning bolt where you don't want it. Now, this is an exact opposite. This is a turn, and this turn is the improper, incorrect writing of these texts. Your belief system has gotten to a point where everybody says, it ain't a part of me, it's external. Horse hockey. You are an integral part of all of creation. It don't matter whether you believe it or like it or whatever, and you ain't going to understand it all. I've only found one entity that is capable of understanding that at that level, and that's Source, Creator, God, whatever handle you want to stick on it. And it is the one primarily responsible for all of the design parameters of everything that you're hearing today, as well as things well beyond what you're hearing today. People are going to have to review this show in order to get the information in it. Some of this information, you might read between the lines, and then I'll come up and say, absolutely, and then we'll go off on a little tangent of my own. I don't intend to override the yes, but people need to be aware, and I'm talking about consciously, fully aware. When you do that, you start building two things. Instruct your subconscious mind to direct you in a certain way, a certain manner of being, a way in which you are in terms of your existence. That's first. Number two, you are practicing being aware of not only coke or some other representative sigil, and you have what are known as signs. Okay, well, what's a sign? You see one that's hexagonal and red and says stop on it. You figure you're supposed to stop. Triangular one that's yellow means yield. You're recognizing a symbol. Okay. The symbology is simple. Being the crown of creation, humanity is of a special sort, meaning that it has full capability to access all of the higher realms of existence, each and every last one of them. We are one of the very few and a rare race in that regard. We are not the absolute highest being in existence. I've met some that are higher, personally met them. So I know this for a fact. When you get to the point where you guard your thoughts, get your stuff under control, you become one of those peculiar people that knows what's going on, then you can start making decisions about the manner in which to conduct yourself in order to accomplish any goal you set. Now, I want that understood. I've taught on the parameters and limit and unlimited capability of being an integral part of a matrix. The movie The Matrix expresses one where you are inserted into. That is a mental facet or a room of its own. You are, in this respect, the one of the basis, integral, and critical portions of what is known as the matrix. Thus, and because of this, you have full and absolute control of, you are exactly where you decided to be. Well, let's change the decision order and see where I can go. And that's my little speech.
You were talking about sigils and symbols, and one of the things we do with the SE5 is when we're doing custom programs for people, which we do, we have the ability to go into a particular database of symbols that are used for various items and thought forms and strengthen the program we put together for someone. So let's say we're using the SE5, and most of you probably know I have the Etheric Balance Guild running, which is if you decide you want to get balanced, we'll set up programs to do that for you remotely. We'll just use a picture of your body to use as targeting material. But what we can do is we can take affirmations and statements that we can deliver directly to your subconscious mind. And we can use symbols that have been proven to relate to those things, like love or joy or whatever it happens to be. And we can add those symbols into the program and further strengthen whatever program we're sending to you. And we've gotten people that, you know, wanted to get off of smoking or slow down the alcohol access and things like that. And we help them with those things. But, again, strength of mind is the first thing they need to pay attention to. The second is how we structure the program for them. And then, of course, we usually will add in the nutrition aspect to make sure they're getting the kind of things that will help them. Most people don't realize that when you take a good full load of vitamin B complex and you do it in a methylated form, like methylcobalamin or folate, methylfolate, you wind up inserting them directly into your system and helping get a tremendous amount of relief in your endocrine system, which causes you to think differently. So there's a lot to working on the subconscious, and strength of mind, like Drake was talking about, is it's the number one thing. The number two is putting the right nutrition in so that you're not sabotaging yourself. There's a lot of things out there today in foods that are called xenoestrogens. And basically what they are is estrogen-mimicking substances. And men and women have estrogen, and it can throw your hormonal system so far off, you act inappropriately around people. And most people don't realize that that's where it's coming from, and they don't realize what to do. And so there are ways of handling it on the physical side as well as helping it on the other side. And, you know, in your life, if you can get rid of some of the stressors first, like, you know, slowing down the electromagnetic pollution that's damaging you and causing you to have inflammation and not work properly internally, and you can get your diet under control, and you can start working on building strength in your mind and blocking some of these signals, with whether it's technologies or whatever you do, you can live a life that's a whole lot calmer and more fulfilling. And then you've got a chance to really open up to more unlimited potential. So basically starting, you really want to get your act together in a group of areas and start on it. And nobody's going to do it all at once. So don't be too hard on yourself when it takes you a couple of months to get it done.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one, I'm glad actually both you, Jeff and Drake, mentioned what I've also found to be very much true is the psychological aspect of detoxing, healing is so pivotal. And then you hear that even from conventional doctors relating to cancer situations, that if the patient is more optimistic, they seem to have more statistically better chance of actually surviving the whole thing. So that's one of the things I immediately noticed when getting the SE5 and looking over the you know, thousands of codes there is that I was very, very, very impressed with the psychological balancing. And this is actually something that I and our crew here run quite often as one of the staples, because it essentially does have what comes down to the quintessential affirmations and in a lot of ways balanced statements that you'll see in different modalities like NLP, Psyche, you know, EFT. So it has a lot of the same type of applications. So those out there who are familiar with this stuff and know that it works on that subconscious level in relation to our body memory. So that's one of the things that for those out there who are more interested in the nuts and bolts aspect too, think when we say subconscious, this also factors in the programmed body response memory, your fight or flight tendencies, things like this. So when, for instance, when Jeff and I are using the SE5 and are sending a scalar pattern of happiness or relaxation, what this does is this reminds your energy field that there is no need to have a fight or flight response right now, which may be directly what's being trying to be triggered in, say, one of those power line situations or piggybacking off of Wi-Fi or a Gwen Tower or something like this. So this is actually one of the most important points, too. I have to agree. It has to deal with the right mind frame. And then with that sort of physical cascade just seems to move that much quicker.
The affirmations that we have hundreds of them in the machine as the basic program. I've been through several of the advanced programs, and in one of the advanced ones, I've got 1,500 additional targeted affirmations. But let's say, for example, we want to send something to someone that's not in that group of affirmations. What do you do? Well, in our device, we have a coding system which allows us to type in any statement we want and get the code for the field of information that it relates to. So even if we don't have a code already, we can actually generate one and put it in the program and save it for later use in other programs. So there's a lot of flexibility. And when you're doing this for yourself at home, let's say you're trying to program yourself, and, you know, don't look at this as a negative thing. Look at it as a positive thing, because you've been programming yourself since you're a child. But you can take and write statements on paper and read them several times. They're called affirmations. And you can use those to program your subconscious. The Russian research came out, 10, 15 years ago. They did several papers on this, that you can actually talk to your DNA in your native language. And if you do it repeatedly enough, your DNA will actually make the changes. And many people know this in the secret societies and the hermetic cultures, some of the Greek monks and people like that. They do their chants over and over and over again. And people ask them, you know, why do you chant the same thing? And they're just making the change in their DNA so that the DNA will do what it's being told.
Yeah.
So there's a lot you can do without the technology, too.
Yeah, Jeff,
right, okay. Will it be short? I need to have a musical interlude. And then you carry on, then we'll go into a musical interlude after that. Okay, thank you.
Great. Yeah, awesome. Yeah, because just a little thing to drop on there, too, for if you're interested in hearing more about the nuts and bolts of what Jeff just described, I highly recommend checking out Dr. Bruce Lipton. He actually is a microbiologist of Northwestern University who did a denucleotizing experiment proving that the DNA isn't the brain, and pretty much also confirmed the theory of the concept of what Jeff's talking about there too, is where the perceptions of the system or the person is what creates the peptides, which creates the receptors on the cell, which is what the DNA tries to replicate. So the thought aspect actually is what is programming our DNA. So anyone out there who's interested in finding out more specific, like especially medical professionals who want the actual RNA configuration stuff like that, I highly recommend checking out Bruce Lipton's work for more confirmation on what Jeff just shared there.
I got a request.
Okay.
I would like to have a listing by purpose of some of these books, so that some of the people out in the audience can acquire them. If you would not mind sending one of us an email so that we can do these, it would be much appreciated, because there are some people who like to be able to go through the black and white, study it out, figure it out as to how it applies to them, and go from there. Okay?
Sure.
Thanks.
Yeah, I've posted on the pinned post, like Bruce Lipton, Hidden Persuasions, and I think the other one was Initiation into Hermetics.
Yep, so, by Franz Boeken. And there's another one that I think would be valuable to many people who are interested in how genes relate to amino acids and to astrology. And as we all know, the planets affect how we actually act. And that book would be called Gene Keys, huge compendium. And it's part of one of the courses for the SE5. It comes with the course because it's such an incredible document. It'll literally walk you through how all of those things work in the mind. And well documented, well put forth, and it relates to the I Ching from China, and it relates to amino acids. There's a couple of books out there that actually link various genetics to particular amino acids and minerals. And I've got one of those books as well. And as soon as my vision clears up a little bit, I'm going to dig into that one and put that forth. So, yeah, there's quite a few books that have some great information. There's another one I'll mention. It's called Preconscious Processing by Dixon. It's a tiny little book, and the sucker is about $150 when I bought it. But within the first third of the book I had read it, I'd made $50,000 with some of the things I learned in there. It was quite eye-opening when you learn how subliminal programming works. And what I did was I used it against the New World Order. I went into one of their companies, and I used it on them. I won't explain exactly how, because I'd prefer everybody get to do that to those guys. But it worked quite well, and it was amazing. The guy picked up a piece of paper, and he couldn't put it down, and he had no idea why. So great book, hard to find, but it's loaded with data. And remember, if any of these books are really expensive, always check with a library. Sign up for a library just so you can have one, you know, have a card for one, because you can get interlibrary loans from around the country. There are many books that I've picked up. There's one by a woman on nutrition that was really good, that was written back in the 70s. Isabel, I can't remember her last name right offhand, but it was a really good book on vitamins in endocrine metabolism, it's called. And it has all kinds of things they don't want you to know about, you know, nutrition and your metabolism. So you can't get that book just about anywhere, but if you can order it through interlibrary loan, they'll give it to you for 30 days to read. And if you're smart, you'll slap it on your scanner and you'll scan all the pages. And then when you send it back, you can still have it for reference material.
Yes. Right, we'll go into a musical break now. It'll be about 7 or 8 minutes, and we'll be back shortly. Bye. This song has been requested by one of our members who's had a fairly rough week this week, and is known to the two guests, Michelle Forrest. Hope she enjoys it. Bye for now.
East of Omaha, you can listen to the engine moaning out his one note song. You can think about the woman or the girl you knew the night before. But your thoughts will soon be wandering the way they always do when you're riding 16 hours and there's nothing much to do. and you don't feel much like riding. You just wish the trip was through. See, here I am on the road again. There I am up on the stage. Here I go playing star again. There I go, turn the page. Well, you walk into a restaurant, strung out from the road, and you feel the eyes upon you as you're shaking off the cold. You pretend it doesn't bother you, but you just want to explode. Most times you can't hear 'em talk, other times you can. All the same old cliches. Is that a woman or a man? And you always seem outnumbered. You don't dare make a stand. Here I am on the road again. There I am up on the stage. Here I go playing star again. There I go, turn the page. Out there in the spotlight, you're a million miles away. Every ounce of energy you try to give away. As the sweat pours out your body like the music that you play. Later in the evening, as you lie awake in bed, with the echoes from the amplifiers ringing in your head, you smoke the day's last cigarette, remembering what she said. Ah, here I am on the road again. There I am up on the stage. Here I go playing star again. There I go.
Hi all, and welcome to the second portion of the show with Drake, Jeff Harvey, and Jerry Avalos. It was an interesting first segment, I'm sure you all agree. I've got a couple of questions, Jeff or Jerry, either one can answer. This technology and research, did it come out of the Black Budget projects? If yes, how long for, and what is the levels of involvement in it?
No, that didn't come out of the Black Budget. Radionics has been around for 60-70 years. Now, my understanding of the beginning of this was way back before even Galen Hieronymus made his first machine. Many people attribute some of this to before that. I know the Russians have been very big in this for a very long time as well. Scanner technologies, radionics. It has very, very old roots. So I would say no, not Black Budget. But I think what happened was is you have to understand that people have been practicing radionics operations since the dawn of time, because each hemisphere of your brain can generate scalar waves. And when you focus on a point in the distance, whether it's around the world or, you know, right across the room from you, each one of those hemispheres is putting out a signal, and it creates an interference pattern or an interferogram when they hit, which is basically, you know, the basis of a hologram.
Yeah.
So as a child, you know, you do operations in radionics in your head. You know, whatever it is you want, you're always looking for a structural link to get what you want. So you've been doing it since childhood. You just don't recognize it.
Right. The second question was, you were talking about mind control earlier. And I know the Russians have been doing this since at least the 50s. I think they were the first that really went into it, and the Germans prior to them probably. They stated that 30% of the population can't be mind controlled. Is that correct? And what is the reason for that?
Jerry, why don't you touch that, and I'll answer my end after you're done.
All right, sounds good. I would say it's kind of hard. I mean, because we're not privy to all the gathered data in terms to create a viable statistic that says X amount of percent are unaffected. I would say that, but beyond that, that really, because a lot of times I know I've heard this figure mentioned in relation to, say, extraterrestrial genes and so on and so forth, and this is where I qualify everything by saying that I think that the community at large has been very active at looking at things like past lives, but we haven't been active looking at things like future lives or past lives in other galaxies or other places and time. So I think that ultimately when we have references to that, what they're really saying is an aware, awakened individual will be very difficult to basically have any kind of intrusion upon them. And I think that that would show in the, it's kind of like a first inner egg kind of concept, I'd say.
I would agree with that. There is a program I wrote about a year ago or 2 years ago, and it was using a radionics device. And basically, as we know, there are different timelines out there, different dimensions, and all kinds of entities and all of them. And what I was trying to do is trying to improve my timeline here. And I wrote a program to take successful timeline strategies from other timelines, and I put it into the radionics device, and I did a stick pad tuning, which means I used my nervous system to lock to that field of information so that there was no doubt that I would lock on the information. And I ran this thing, and this thing ran for several months, and it just literally kept piling on more and more and more successful strategies into this timeline for me. Very interesting way to do things. So my point is that I believe that with a strong mind, and as Jerry said, somebody who's awake and aware and knows what's going on, I think it's very difficult to mind control you. Now, having said that, I have a book in my library. It's from Fritz Springmeier, and it's on the Illuminati's mind control program. This book is huge. It's like 1.5 inches thick, 2 inches, whatever it is, and it's a big 9.5 by 11 bear. And it goes into many of the people who are mind controlled in the public and what drugs were used, what techniques were used to split the psyche when they were little. JonBenet Ramsey's in there. There's many other people that are very famous. And it goes into the different drugs and how they use it. So when it comes to using drugs for mind control and other psychotronic issues, when they add the drugs in, I think there's almost no one that can't be mind controlled to a point. But without the drugs, I think there's very few people that can't get strong enough so they can resist any of it. But again, it depends on how strong your mind is and whether or not they're applying drugs. Because when they get into the drug use, they can literally change pathways and change the way your brain works. So that's the way it really works. I think 90% of the population, they can defend themselves without too much trouble if they actually get at it.
Yeah, definitely. And I guess on a personal note that I don't mind sharing, just because of my experience with the whole military abduction phenomenon, I can definitely verify that. And I didn't realize how heavily the drugs were used until I started getting older and experimenting and then later into shamanic voyaging. And then I recognize these feelings, and I'm like, oh, man, I'd see what happened here. And I can see where, you know, you give, say, an intuitive a good shot of, you know, mescaline with a little bit of tranquilizer, and they'll talk all day, and they'll play whatever you want. You know what I mean, this is some of the interrogation techniques that some of these people use, like Jeff was saying, when they actually physically have you in their presence. It can be very extremely difficult to not be subjected to that, kind of like what everyone's mentioning, the Matrix movie, kind of like the moment when they had Morpheus in that office. It's kind of like the same thing. He held out as much as he can, but ultimately, yeah, they're changing your physical apparatus, so you're fighting against your body, basically.
So is this what they were doing also with the MyLab experiments as well, Jerry?
Yeah, absolutely, because it kind of depended on who was doing the exploitation at the time, but yeah. Some of the more conventional, quote-unquote, ways of it would basically be like having someone do a clairvoyant reading for you or a remote influencing operation, but basically you'd be so drugged up, you'd be disassociated, so you wouldn't think it's reality. And so basically you're just kind of, oh, yeah, let me go. Yeah, they're over here, and if you go in this way, there shouldn't be any traps, but because you're just out of your mind, you know, just totally sedated. and all these other pathways are open with some of the other cocktails, and they just use suggestion, and then, you know, you're kind of disinebriated, so you're just like, oh, yeah, okay, just go that way, you know, so that's one of the more, like I said, quote-unquote conventional styles, you can say, of utilizing chemicals.
Right, okay. Drake? Hello, Drake?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm just kind of absorbing some of this stuff. There's several things that go into this that people are not aware of. Ken Kesey had a magic bus that he took tours on, and the drug used was the psychedelic known as LSD. Some of the things that deal with that particular ideology in terms of application, be it LSD or other certain specifics. South America's famous for a couple. China has at least three that I know of. What I was studying was the opening of the vortex between the conscious mind, subconscious mind, physicality, and the ethereal. And my studies led to several places. One of those was a physical parameters note by a physician who had done some very, very interesting studies on glandular development. One of the things that was found was that you have a set of glands in the back of your head that are undeveloped or have atrophied over time. Now, back in the day, if anybody wants to do the research, I've done it, the ideology of being able to psychically communicate with animals, plants, etc., was commonplace. A lot of people are unaware of it, but that's the way it was. Man was truly, fully, openly integrated with all of his existence, in at least the physical realm. I decided to see what I could find in terms of specifically that. And I don't know if people reach the same dead end that I did, but I got a hold of some researchers that had been looking into these things and found that people who had imbibed, even in extremely, extraordinarily small amounts of LSD compound or compounds similar to it, were found to have reawakened the glands in the back of their head. By reawaken, I mean that these things started developing. And as the development came to maturity, they found that they had rather extraordinary capabilities beyond what most normal humans do. I'm not going to go into the list. It's rather lengthy. But in terms of the capability to use the MK Ultra drug mind-washing, brainwashing techniques, one of the things found was that the people who had either arbitrarily, accidentally, or purposely imbibed these psychedelics, as they're called, was a sort of firewall against any and all intrusions into their psyche, into the basis of their existence. Anybody who has eaten too many poppy seeds, there's a variety of different ways you can get the effects. I won't go into that because you're going to have people out there trying to go to the grocery and smoke up all the spices probably. But the neat part about it is that some of the drugs that everybody knows is in the water actually are activators in found in LSD. Now, by activators, you have a combination of complex proteins and all kinds of whoopity-doos that are really heavy scientific. I won't go into the scientific details because everybody will go to sleep. What I want to do is add to this in terms of my capabilities, because I purposely experimented, were augmented extraordinarily by the advent of the maturity of these glands. Some of these are equated to the star charts that the Egyptians have in stone in their hieroglyphics.
Some are found in South America in the hieroglyphics there. The sun and moon pyramids there have extensive hieroglyphic knowledge concerning these things. There are still groups in China, Russia, Europe, America, and a couple of other places, South America, Africa, that subscribe to the initiation of an individual into the full, and when I say full dimension, there's a difference. People have a tendency to separate their life force, spiritual entity, from their body. The body stays alive at a very low rate, but it's still there. This offers you the opportunity to actually transmigrate physically into these realms. This is the supposed ultimate goal. Many of the secret societies have extensive writings exactly on this subject. The ideology goes back to a group of Mayan priests who went into a cave at a certain point, and they said goodbye to everybody before they went in there. Several things happened. There were earthquakes of a funny sort. They're not normal, everyday earthquakes. There were a combination of vibratory resultants in terms of light and sound that no one had ever seen or experienced before. After a few days, some of the people that knew these priests went to find them in the cave that they went into, and nobody was home. However, the inside of the cave, which had been before that time totally dark, now had the amoebic and other growths necessary to illuminate the inside of that cave. The inside of that cave, and you can only find this, and this is the neat part, under the conditions I'm presenting. Because when these things died out, the written knowledge that these things had put out disappeared. It's not carved into the stone, but was a part of, a portion of. When you get into matter, and you get into the understanding of basic nuclear physics, you're told neutron, proton, electron, basically. Then you got a whole menagerie, a whole friggin' zoo full of little particles that do their own thing. Luminescence, and a lot of people say that it's it deals with evil. Well, no. Natural expression is mostly of the good sort, even though it might can be considered darkness at the time it's viewed or the conditions under which it's found. It is of a positive nature. And what they found was that these living organisms picked up on an atomic prevalence of a pattern existing in the rock at the atomic level. A couple scientists went and checked it, and I looked at that and said, wow, so this means that even matter has its own, quote, personalities, its identities, its this and that. There's a book that I recommend, The Stones Speak, and I definitely recommend it because it does express what a sigil or signet or a pattern carved into a stone does, the intent and person of the person carving it, not just to get it done so he can go home and relax his fingers and his broke back. The intent and purpose of its reason for being there, the reason for its expression, the ability of that expression then to have an effect on those who see it, let alone recognize it. Those who recognize it have a deeper experience. Very simple. But all of these things go to the combination of the psyche or you in a spiritual relationship and essence to all of the cosmos. And you have to understand that if and you've heard this in songs, stand me up against the gates of hell and I won't back down. I think Petty did a song on that. The ideology that an individual can actually stand because of their absolute decision against something that is nasty should be the key to everyone who's listening and passes this information on to being able to say no and have it stick. I don't think so. This is not for the general good. This is not for my well-being, obviously. I've seen what it does to me, so it can't be to the well-being and obvious good for anyone else. Consequently, you are beginning to foment a wave, a great tide of opinion, a combination of knowledge, action, and abilities that this planet has not seen but one other time. So we are on the cusp. We're on the beginning. We are beginning to formulate that wave in terms of putting out this kind of esoteric and obvious physical, mechanical knowledge. People can grasp the idea that if they change their mind, they change their situation. They change their situation, they change the destiny. And if you want to predestinate yourself, according to cosmic law, all of the power of the cosmos will back up behind you and say, yep, here he comes. And so the idea of a permanent riding relationship with a Harley Davidson, like that man who got buried with his, becomes the reality greater than the sum of the parts, because all people are looking at is a plexiglass box, Harley Davidson, and his body sitting on it. They don't see the resultant of the whole. The sum of the parts does not equal the whole, the value of the whole, nor its application or capability. Each individual has the capability. One thing I try to do is make things as simplistic as possible. I oversimplify simply to get the message across. Oh, yes, you can. It's like that little ram butting a dam in that Frank Sinatra song. He didn't give up. He kept butting a dam. Eventually, the dam went. Now, you can't fight City Hall, but I've seen one or two people take them on and totally wipe them out. I have seen people who had the courage of their convictions to put the beard down and get up off the couch. Now, in some situations, you're going to be riding with some friend, and you didn't know they were the nutcase that they really are until they hand you they say, here, hold my beer, watch this. And off and down the road you go, oh, boy, you didn't know a pickup truck could do a double backflip until this dude got a hold of the wheel. But the alteration of the present existing condition is that extraordinary. I want everybody to really let that sink in. It is that extraordinary. The things that were beyond us, and you don't got time to read 15 books and apply the stuff for 10 years, well, these little items, devices, mechanics can assist you in getting to where you need to go without that. That don't mean you don't need to read and apply and learn. It means that you can also be getting there at the same time, you know, while you're taking your trip, whether it be on a train, driving, or whatever, you can actually be rehearsing this knowledge. As you rehearse it, it becomes a habit. As it becomes a habit, your subconscious mind picks it up as a directive. This is the manner in which you are to be in, the direction you are to go. And then that point of you are right where you have decided to be, the decision changes. Now you can put you are right where you have decided to go. How far can you go? What's the limit? Show me. Ha ha. That's what I got to say.
Right. Thanks, Drake. Question for Jeff or Jerry. The SE5. What is the cost of these, or does it depend on how much is introduced into it?
Yes, the I distribute these devices as well as the balancing units, that are far less expensive than that, that have very similar operations. The excuse me. The SE5, as it comes configured, has got all of the tools and toys you need to operate it properly, as well as the 17,000 codes, a camera, a printer for the camera, an LED light pen for scanning and dowsing, and then, of course, there's quite a few DVDs that come with it for training. And that unit, it runs about $4,700 without a laptop. It's around $5,000 with a laptop. Now, typically what I do is I make a deal for people that if they pay by PayPal, we lose, as you know, 3% on the deal. So what I tell people is send us money orders for it, and we'll give you the add-on programs, which normally cost $150. So they get a better deal, they get their unit, and they still pay the same amount they normally would, but they get a little bit more out of it, and I'd rather see them get a benefit than PayPal. Now, having said that, you can configure this device with even more. You can add on to it things like if you want to work on color therapy, you have a set of color pens that are light pens with different frequencies, including the one that Fritz Popp uses on cancer. We also have several training courses that are advanced, and some of those have quite a few programs that come with them, like the time scanning program and others. So you can configure it many different ways, but the basic unit runs that. Now, not everybody is going to run out and spend $4,700 on an SE5, but they'd like to get involved in technology like this. And so I also have balancing units that do not have the analysis capability, but they can run hologram cards, and you can literally use those to program other people or help people with what you're doing. Like one of the units is called the remote balancer, and that runs about $700. And what it does is it's got a slot in it for a hologram card. And what we do is when you get the machine, you choose from a list of 12 or 14 programs, and five of them you get free. The rest of them you can purchase additionally, or you can get custom cards, and they run about $50 each depending on what you're getting. And basically you put a card in the slot, and it will dose anybody within 1,000 square feet of that machine with that program. You can use the negative energy program, which is astounding for cleaning out a bunch of people who are loaded with negative energy. We've tried it in restaurants and cleaned the place out a couple of times. The chakra balancing program is there. They've got one on allergies, colds and flus, and other things. Now, there's a second slot on that machine, though. Now, your local effect bubble is about 1,000 square feet when you use one of these cards. However, if you were to take and put in the other slot target reference material, meaning someone's DNA or their picture, and when you take a picture, it needs to be, you take it outside of the person, no other living thing in the picture, you know, just have it in sunlight if you can, with as sheer a clothing as they can wear. You don't want them all bagged up with coats and things. And you take it from head to toe, filling the screen of the picture with their arms at their side and their palms facing out. The reason for this is when the light strikes the body, it goes right into the DNA, and the DNA, being a scalar antenna, will then also put out biophotons or light energy out. So when you take the picture, it's picking that energy up, which means we can use that as a pattern to track you down anywhere on the planet and send the codes to you so we can help you out. So you can actually target someone anywhere in the world using the device, or you can do the local 1,000 square foot area. And that's a pretty neat little device. So if you don't have the money to become a practitioner, you can still get involved and still work on it. And we've got several units below that that are on the website that do other things that have even shorter ranges, but will help with EMF interference. Like the smallest one has two holograms in it, which basically wipes out the EMF interference that you're getting, and it keeps your meridian systems flowing with energy. And we've proven that in the advanced training classes because we tested it on every single member of the class.
The advanced training classes, are they only available in the U.S. or is it global?
It's global because they're on DVD.
Right, okay. Is there financing available for these for this technology?
We do not have financing for it. However, there's tons of places that will finance these.
Right, okay.
I don't know that it's a great idea to go into debt for a tool. I'm of the opinion the less debt you have, the freer you are.
Yes, I agree.
We'll caveat them just for the audience and everyone listening. Now, one of the analogies I do give to working with this type of equipment is kind of like a musical equipment or being a musician. So, yes, it's a very fine machine, and you can buy a very fine guitar, but it's a difference between learning how to play on that and then being a professional. And so, yes, anyone can buy these. Anyone can eventually learn how to play a good tune. And so that's one of the things. So don't let anything we're saying here dissuade you if you really want to get one. Is just be very, just make sure you know what you really want to do with it and allow yourself maybe to expand into more, because there is a lot of things just out of the box. The SC5 has amazing capacity to heal and balance different aspects of the body and mind, and because of the software has been put together pretty well, and all the manuals are very easy to understand. Anyone can really go in there and start doing something right away. And then it's really just a matter of how detailed you want to get into the SD5. So when anyone out there potentially thinking about buying this, think about that. How much time do you want to be able to devote to the operation of the machine and getting proficient at it? So just something I kind of wanted to throw in there, you know.
Yes. How long does it do the cards last? The holographic cards before needing me.
Yeah. For. You're depending on how long you code them for is one of the key factors in how long they'll last. When we code a card, we try and code them so they last between 8 months and a year.
Right.
One thing I was thinking of was. Sounds good enough to me. You could just plug me in. I'd be happy.
Plug me in. Okay, that's interesting.
A holographic Drake. Right. Okay, that'll be good. Right. Are you guys available to answer some questions for us?
Of course.
Yeah, definitely.
Right. A lot of the questions we've had, I don't know whether you want me to go through each individual illness, but a lot of it's to do with people being ill, bipolar, neurological pain, myeloma cancer, fibromyalgia, bipolar, ADHD, rheumatoid arthritis, autism, quite a few. Do you want to do them individually or as a collective?
You need to have a statement so that you understand what you're asking.
Yeah.
How about old age?
Here's the problem. There's two sides we already discussed in the beginning.
Yep.
The physical body and then the information fields that control how the cell acts. Now, I've had many people come to me and say, well, can you fix my fibromyalgia with this? And the first thing I tell them is, nope, sure can't. What I can do is I can balance the fields that relate to the muscle structures, to the underlying causes of the fibromyalgia, while at the same time I can teach you how to do the nutrition and the supplementation to solve the problems that are causing it. if you go to an allopathic doctor, you're basically going to get handed a script for pills to take care of the symptoms, 90% of the cases. There's a few great doctors out there that actually work on causes. Not many. We try to work on the cause. And when I went through my board certifications, I'm on the alternative side. We don't give a crap about the symptoms unless it's causing you not to be able to move forward in healing. Then we want to help with the symptoms too. We're after the root cause so you get better. And when you use a device like this, what you're trying to do is set up the conditions so that the rest of the body has the instructions so that the cells can perform properly. So if you're looking at how this works in a disease architecture, basically what we're doing is we're taking the cells and we're taking that information field that surrounds them and taking the corrupt data out and putting back in the corrected data for the field information codes so that the cell will be told how to act properly, not improperly. But you cannot pull out of a disease condition without taking care of the other side, which is the physical. You must have your nutrition set properly, and that's what I teach people how to do. And you have to detox your extracellular matrix. You have to get rid of the inflammations and infections. I show you how to do that. And we also show you how to get rid of the candida, the heavy metals, and all that nonsense in the extracellular matrix that's holding you back from healing. Your body will heal itself if it's given what it needs to do it. And there's two sides. You got the etheric and you got the physical. We handle the etheric and the information fields with the SE5. We handle the rest physically. So this is not a device where you push a button and you cure cancer. It does not do that.
Exactly. And then one of the things that can add on to that from my own observations and working with it in different types of conditions, you know, some of which were mentioned too, is that it seems to me what we're doing, because you know, Jeff has extensive knowledge in practical physical health care, which personally I don't, but we do have someone who is trained in pharmacy on our staff too. But what we do is we're looking at things from a slightly different angle in the sense of we're almost examining this more as what is the placebo effect and how can we keep recreating it? Because ultimately, I think too many people synonymize placebo effect with fake, which it isn't. It's actually the most powerful healing force that anyone knows. And then the medical industry tries to shove it aside because then they won't be able to sell you a pill, which they're having difficulty now even beating a placebo with most of these drugs. And I think Prozac didn't even actually beat it. They just forced it through with money. So that lets us know that that's an indicator of these intrinsic data fields at work, and they're being actuated by someone's brain deciding this is the information I want to tune into, the one that tells my cells to regenerate properly, to be healthy. Because this is one other thing to ponder, and this is conventional medicine, is that from in about 7 to 11 years, like there is no cell in your body that was still the same that 7 or 11 years earlier. So if there's a nagging injury, you have literally recreated it. So that's one thing that I know myself, I pondered for years, you know, having some nagging sports injuries, and now I'm healing from them because I realize it's like when you have the perception of, oh, I have a bum knee, guess what? Your subconscious says, okay, we'll make that happen for you. No problem, buddy. So there's day-to-day examples of this all the time. So how we're examining is how we are inclining that, you can say, placebo effect. So once again, it's not the machine per se or our hologram that would do it. It's the synchronization of the intention of the end user of where it basically increases the probability of this instantaneous or spontaneous healing, whatever you want to call it. And we know this obvious phenomenon is very real, and it is dealing specifically with information as opposed to taking a pill, like Jeff was saying. So it's heavily empirically focused, shall we say.
I love the way you put that, too. Recreating the placebo effect. People just, they don't realize how strong the placebo effect is or what it really is. They say, oh, well, I just thought that I was going to heal, so I had a temporary healing. Well, that's actually what happens in placebo. But when you can get the body to keep doing that, now you're basically using, I would suggest, the etheric forms of the body to heal the physical body. And so by recreating the placebo effect over and over again, you're actually getting your body to do its own healing with no drug. And that's tremendous stuff. Shamans have been doing this for centuries. There are nations over in Australia in the outback where when the entire tribe goes to bed at night, they dream together, and anybody who's sick, the whole entire tribe will work on them on the etheric zone and heal them up there so that the next morning when they get up, it's all done.
Can I jump in?
What's that?
Can I jump in?
Absolutely.
Well, okay. Everybody knows about belief systems, and I use my biblical training extensively for two reasons. One is that it's if you can discern the principle out of all the gobbledygook stories and whatever, you can get somewhere with that. But I also wanted to know what the Greek language stipulated in terms of the ancient Greek used in the original scrolls and whatnot. So I got into it, and what I found out was some simple stuff. Everybody knows about the word belief and believing. You see this throughout the Bible. If you read it at all, it's all over the place. What you don't know is this. Two extraordinarily different words can mean the same thing when translated from one language to another. This is called loss in translation. A lot of people are not aware of the word believe, and the two words that it means. In the Greek, you have one, which is mental assent. You believe. You understand. Somebody has described to you a shovel. You understand it perfectly, concisely, mentally. However, unless you actually put one together or whatever, you don't use that information much. It gets put into the archives, let's say, your brain, and it don't come back out. This is the loss of the placebo effect when you have a temporary healing. The other word means believing to manifestation. Now, manifestation is interesting because you actually are making something go poof, and there it is, kind of magical in terms of its result. Most people cannot manifest things. It's real difficult. I have explained and tutored several people in the art of being able to manifest things that are impossible otherwise. And it's worked 100% each and every last time. The difference between what we're talking about here is the combination of both of those. You mentally assent to the possibility of healing. That's first. Number two, you, because you do not have the full knowledge of exactly how it all works, are going to rely on a device or an addition to yourself in the process. What happens here is two things. Water has a memory. This has been done. It's called the water experiments. Some people have gone to lakes and taken the polluted water and turned them into crystal clear, perfectly clean waters. This is the application of the manifestation portion of what we're talking about here. If you are not capable of doing that, simply what the system does is two things. You're 90% water, or give or take. Water has memory, therefore it's going to remember. If you involve in that life force, such as a cell or a living organism. In other words, you coo and fawn over that little plant, and you think it's cool and it's great. The one next to it you don't pay no attention to. The one that you've been fooing and playing with and rubbing its leaves and being nice to will grow two or three, four times as bountiful. Size, capability, what it's supposed to be, the blossoms will be large. The other one may actually wither and die. Now, that's that forgotten memory. That's that one where you mentally assent. In terms of getting to where you need to be or decide you want to go, you have augmented the capability of doing so through the assistance of a device. Memory, and this is interesting, goes to energy protocols of patternization. You have specifically aligned a combination of energamata and energetic and the physical brain cells, etc., into a semi-linear configuration in the brain that causes memories to come back to you. And they come back to you in the fullness of actually re-experiencing them. Everybody can do this when they have a really delightful memory. And everybody can look at that and go, I remember that. You can taste it, touch it, smell it, feel it, you're there. Lucid dreaming is an example of this sort of thing. So what you've got is the ethereal, that which is beyond the realities that we are familiar with of taste, touch, smell, etc., beyond the senses realm, into the area of thought. Nobody has been able to distinctly define thought because it is non-real. It is a non-reality. However, in application, a thought, such as a concentration of thought, becomes a reality. So therefore, you have a direct combination of both physical, as is stated, and ethereal, non-real, thought process, belief. Clean your mind up of all the stuff, extemporaneous horse hockey running around in there and say, this is this and that's where, this is how it's going to be. And keep that up, those monks that sit and chant all day, as the example that was given. Someone who gets up and programs their day. Well, this is going to be a good day. I think I like this day, even though it's funky in terms of weather and it's drizzly and there's snow on the ground and it's not warm, and that's fine. You might find that Mother Nature can actually mirror what you feel it should be. That warm, sunny day might just become the reality. That cool day at work where everything not only went right, but you got accolades, you got a raise, you got this, you got promoted, all of these things, your general condition. Everybody's looking at, well, you know, I'm an old fart and I need help with this. Things are beginning to droop, among other things, and I need to fix this. Well, that's one aspect. How about fixing your entire life? Now, hermetics have been touted, and I agree with them, in their basis form, their more pure form of raise a child up in the way he should go, and he will not depart thereof or therefrom. Bingo. What happens if you actually start this at an early age? Can you have an influence on grandchildren without the parental knowledge? Well, of course you can. You don't need, they don't need to tell anybody where they got the information. They just do it and let them sit there and grin at their parents. How does he do that? I don't know. What do you mean he sits in front of the TV and changes the channels with his mind? That ain't possible. Well, this used to be the norm. We are graduating slowly. We are going through a transitional process where people will become awake and aware that these things are not just real, but real enough that anybody can apply them. Some of the mental capability in terms of doing this will be expressed in my second book. I'm not trying to tout my book, but it does not give you all of the absolute detailed information required in order to come up with a rather rapid culmination of the results you're looking for, like curing cancer or something. There are ways to do this, but in combination with nutrition, and I express this in the first book, get your physical self right so that your mental self can be where it should be in order to be able to do what you want to do. The touting of devices, I feel, is appropriate, and the reason I do is because there are way too many people who have gotten way away from Mother Nature and in doing so, have disconnected themselves from their own internal, innate, and God-given nature of being. So you got to realize that there's a lot of things that go into this. It's not simple, but it can be simply done. You have to understand that the belief of the mental assent to something is all well and good. What we need to practice is that poof, that magical whoo, and you go to the doctor and he says, you're supposed to have cancer and I can't find it. What'd you do with it? I'll put it in my pocket. You know, I mean, you can play the uninstructed, illiterate, hillbilly fun and games with people, and they'll sit there and wonder at you, and that's fine. I don't really care. The medical profession, you have to understand, all of these things that attend to needs of people go to one thing at the present time. If they can't in some way put a meter on it or charge you for it, they don't want you to know about it. Consequently, the things that are presented here today were presented on the last show are the things they don't want you to know about. Quite simply, they do not want you to know that you can have what they would like to have. And believe me, there are those out there who are totally unscrupulous that would love to be able to do what we can do. They're prevented from doing so in some ways. And yet, here you are. You're on the threshold of your dream of being able to do what you have always wanted to become, the manner in which you want to go down that path, the whole nine yards. And this is the junction point between your capability mentally and your capability physically. And you got a few little mother's helpers in there, so to speak. So you need to definitely be aware you can do all these things mentally, all on your lonesome. But a lot of people have got time to do other things. They got to make a living. They have to do this. They have to take care of that. Think about something that's always producing the assistance, that's always saying, hey, little Mr. Cell, wake up. You're not supposed to be sleeping. And this, then you have to understand you got a whole bunch of cells that make up one portion of you, like your fingernails or your muscles or whatever, your brain. And if they're instructed in the right way to go, think how far you can get. That's me.
Right. Next question for either Jeff or Jerry. Can you describe a hologram that would help someone using hands on healing, i.e. scalar wave delivery, to enhance their practice? Would the hologram need to be assigned to the person facilitating the healing or to the person being healed or both?
Go get him, Jerry.
Yeah, actually, there's solutions for both. Theoretically, for instance, let's say someone's an energy healer out there and doesn't necessarily want to get into, you know, reselling in a sense. You know, for instance, one of our products that we have right now, the BioFill Boost System, is essentially an amalgamation of codes that balances the chakra system, the meridians, the directional energies that Jeff mentioned, as well as the elemental energies. And so something like that, it would be great for an energy healer to have their apparatus, you know, working or reminding their apparatus how to be in the most congruent configuration. So, you know, you can kind of call it like a quantum coffee in a sense of a pick-me-up. And balancing that bioetheric field. And then in terms for the client or the customer, there is different solutions. I mean, because even that particular code set, it actually is sort of like the infrastructure, the scaffolding energetically for what our body will physically manifest. So that's why we wanted to start with that etheric field once again and provide that sort of the building blocks for that, for the body to manifest what it needs to. So something like that could be applied to both the practitioner and the client. And then, there, as Jeff mentioned, you know, with his guild and his services, there is ways to get into specifics, and that's something that we haven't necessarily opened up publicly yet, because a lot of what we're doing is a lot of case studies along those lines. So we're taking on specific cases right now, so we can apply it to our, towards our research. And so in there we have different applications for different ailments that will be subsequently released. So this is one of those things that where, you know, it's, so yeah, it can be either way, but, and there's not really what best way to do it. And this is one of the things that I'm sure experienced energy healers will attest to. It really just kind of depends on what the person needs at the time. But, and in terms of the practitioner, as they know, there's little things that we can do to help, and some of the technology that we have, you know, definitely can aid in, you know, prana flow, Reiki flow, intuitive clarity, you know, theoretically when it relates to this bioetheric field.
Right. Next question. What is the range of methods to effectively shield ourselves and power our energy field? And are there ways to neutralize low-frequency noise coming from smart meters, mobile phone towers?
So well, the range is quite wide. We can use holograms to assist in this process. We can use any one of our balancing machines. The two that would most come to mind would be the remote balancer and the room balancer, because they have a 1,000-square-foot range. Another would be organite pyramids. And what I mean by organite is powdered metals, not this cheap crap shaving stuff that doesn't work half as well as powdered metals do. And by taking powdered metals, layering them correctly, meaning with the electronegativity scale, and pulsing them with the earth resonance frequency of 7.83, despite what, you know, everybody says that it's moving and changing, it doesn't really matter. Pulse it at 7.83, you'll be fine. It sets up a field that does interrupt negative energies that come from EMF sources, and it does a nice job of blocking it. That's another one. Another thing you can do is you can create organite blocks with geometric patterns on them to make things more cohesive, coherent, so, and put them inside your breaker box and just outside of your smart meter to interrupt or to change that negative flow of energy into something that's not quite so damaging in your system. And that's one way of getting rid of some of that. So that's one of the, that's a couple of the ranges that you can use to do that. When I used, I had an organite generator system, which had five generators built in. And I would put in a group of frequencies starting at the 7.83, and I would take each one of the earth resonance frequencies in order. And by the way, 7.83 is only one of them. There's many of them. Go to UC Berkeley, take a look at their reports in the lab. They'll show you the different frequencies. So I set up each of the five generators with five of the earth resonance frequencies, and I would just play that all the time in the building, and it did such a beautiful job of helping with sleep and blocking negative EMF that when I sold that unit to Evan, my protege, I said, you know, I hate giving this up, but you really needed to get moving on your studies, and he's having a tremendous time with it. So those are a range that will help you.
Yeah, this person is asking, they have an older generator quartz. Can we use our own?
Say that again.
A person who's got an older generator quartz, I presume that's a stone, are they able to use that themselves?
An older generator quartz?
That's what it says.
Okay, I'm not sure what they're actually saying, but there are many older radionics technologies out there that are quite effective. The Hieronymus machine is one. There's many of them out there. There's also a whole horde of scam boxes. Some of them are $10,000 and $20,000 each, claiming to be phenomenal stuff. And they're basically placebo generators. They're nothing more than an astrological program that has a random number generator, and it takes your birth date, time, and location, and it predicts what your basic health patterns will be. Then it uses the random number generator to pick and choose amongst them what it thinks your problem's going to be, and then it shows you some really cool graphics that, quote-unquote, proves that that's what your problem is, when in fact it's just basically hype for the customer to pay the money to buy into it to take the session. And you'll get some effects, but it's not going to do the job like linking directly in to the field of information and getting the one that has the problem. So you have to be careful out there. Machines I am not a fan of are things like the QXCIO and others that are extraordinarily high-priced, and I don't believe they do half of what they say they do. That's my personal opinion, and there is nothing on the earth that's going to get me to change my mind on that. I was in electronics for many years in the military, and all I can tell you is there are a lot of different boxes out there that are scams, and it took me 6 months to weed through 20 or 30 different countries' boxes and find the few that I was going to choose to make my final decision on. And I came down to two or three at the end of it.
Right. The next question is... Go ahead, Joe.
I was going to add real quick that one of the things that you can tell the, you know, Don Paris is reputable and the SC5 actually does what it does is because he's actually published pictures of the scalar coils, you know, that's in the inside of the machine. So that's one of the things you're not seeing from these other companies. They won't show you their hardware, and he's like, here you go. There it is. You can see it. So you know it's something going on there.
Yeah. The next question kind of links in, I think. Are either of you familiar with the Q-Link? I presume it's a machine.
Yeah, the Q-Link. Yeah, the Q-Link pendants. It's one of the more popular ones right now. It's kind of like the popular successor to Power Balance. Now, one of the things with these companies that I can confidently say, while they do something similar, they aren't like us in the sense that we're actually going to tell you what ours does. Both Power Balance and Q-Link are very ambiguous. Even just as a consumer, they have zero information about what's going on there. So it's very hard to tell if anything has been even treated at this point. I have to admit, like just analyzing some of the new Power Balance stuff and had a chance to get in contact with, having our stuff, Jeff's stuff, some other colleagues' stuff, and then having this Power Balance come in, I'm like, wow, they're not even really trying anymore. And so Q-Link, at the very least, I know that they have at least have the copper coil thing going on there and on their pendant. So there theoretically should be some harnessing of latent environmental static or energy. But as far as what exactly they're trying to achieve, they don't even want to tell us. So, and from what I've seen in my own experience is that, like, quite honestly, we have a superior product.
One of the reasons why it's important to know what is being done and why I come on and do these shows is when people go out there with hype and they don't explain the technology on how it works or they can't explain it, and there's plenty of those folks out there. To me, if I'm a consumer who's reasonably awake, I want to know how your technology works. And I want to know all the information of where the information comes from. And when people ask us those questions, we just answer that. We don't beat around the bush. We don't hide the data. We know where it comes from. We know how it works. So if you look at one of our holograms or a program that we would send into a hologram or send to you directly with a generator, we can tell you every single code that's in it, the numeric representation, and what that code relates to. Now, we don't hand that information out all over the place because we don't want our competitors copying it. But if somebody wants to know what's in, let's say, my Vitality hologram, all they do is they call me up and I'll read it off to them. I can tell them exactly what's in it. You know, you look at it and we start off, we go through the negative energy program. There's probably 20 or 30 codes in there that are used to remove negative energies from you and entities as well, and they're very effective for that. People who use it for ghost busting have great success. Then we go into the directional energies, just like Jerry was talking about. You go into the directional energies, the subtle bodies, all of the things that you need to have lined up, like your meridian systems and chakras, before you work on the physical. So we do all of those in that hologram. And, you know, each one of those might be 10, 15, 20, 30 codes. Then we get down in further and deeper, and we go into some other things, like vitamins, minerals, amino acids, protein amino acids. We have the autism virus code is in there. We have ATP, adenosine triphosphate, which is an energy generator in your mitochondria. We have megasporebiotic, which is a spore-based probiotic, and we have that energetic code in there, and many others. So when somebody says, you know, well, what does this thing do? We can tell you. We balance all of those codes, and we've got the numeric representation for that balancing code that gets loaded into the hologram. So it's not like there's any kind of confusion. There's no smoke and mirrors. It's simple data, and it's all physics.
Right, okay. Next question. Is the technology of radionics and scalar waves also involved in the mechanism of replicator machines?
I don't know the answer. How about you, Jerry?
That's interesting that question came up. Now, this gives me a chance to introduce one of our other colleagues named Matt Pulver. He actually works with a side project of Project Camelot called bluescience.org. And he is a scientist out of UCLA, double bachelor in math and physics. And he works with Dr. Paul LaViolette. And they have a subquantum kinetic theory that they've been publishing that can essentially go into different types of philosophies or different names for these subquantum particles. And so Matt, he did the graphs and a lot of the other things on this their theory. And one of the triangulation portions of this seems to correlate very much with what we're doing with our radionic application. So Matt Pulver and I are theorizing that with a little bit of time and effort and maybe another component or two, we may be able to do an experiment of you can say, materialization, because that subquantum kinetic theory that they published has to do with the map of materialization on the molecular level. So we're theorizing that maybe in the future we can do an experiment where we might be able to see, say, like a photon, you know, appear and back down a laser beam or something like that. We've heard similar types of experiments, and so just the proof of concept aspect. So, yes, it actually does start broaching upon that because of the apparent instantaneous information transfer that seems to be accessible, and then how it directly seems to be able to augment matter in a targeted fashion. It's just a small step away, I think, as obviously your audience member picked up as well.
Paul is an extraordinary mind. He's been able to correlate the planetary influences with a lot of these things. In fact, I just got a copy of his book handed to me the other day to go through regarding this. But there's something else for your listeners that might help them. There's a gentleman that's on YouTube by the name of Lieutenant Colonel Thomas Bearden, who has done several YouTube videos. One of them is on radionics. And I was touting this video for quite some time, and when I started putting it out on the airwaves for people to listen to, it got yanked. And I was lucky enough to have recorded it because he goes into, and he's got several videos that will help you with this, talking about, you know, pulling things out of the ether and materialization. But the basic premise is this, and this is what about 10 different physicists working at this level have come up with. First of all, down in the ether or the matrix or whatever you'd like to call it, the quantum subspace area, all right, when you get into space-time, there are infinitely small subatomic particles that are coming into existence and then blinking back out in unbelievably small amounts of time. And they call these particles ghost forms or ghost particles. because they pop in and they pop out. And we're talking about everything from particles of gold to particles of silver, lead, aluminum, whatever. And organisms are actually forming and then going back out of existence. Within such a small period of time, you can't see them. But it's happening all the time. And what Thomas was doing was he was using radionics to direct the energies that we use from here into one of those ghost forms so that you could feed it long enough so that it would actually come into full materialization. So you're talking about going all the way down to the plane of causal existence, feeding something, and then having it materialize. There was a scientist way long ago. I was talking with Mel Fabregas, and he was mentioning it on a radio show I was doing with him. And they had done something similar to that. They were feeding energy down into this material. And what happened was is tiny microscopic insects were actually coming into manifestation out of the causal plane. And they were able to actually replicate that with other scientists. So materialization from the causal plane out of what you think is nothing is actually fact. Because in between the atoms and the electrons and the neutrons is all this space. And most people say, well, there's nothing there, so don't worry about it. Well, you can believe what you want, but that's where a lot of this comes from. You have to understand that at this point in time, we have tunneling microscopes, we have electron microscopes. They can go way down and look at the structure of a material very nicely, but they can't get past that. So in another 100 years, we may have microscopes or visual devices that allow us to see down into those subatomic levels and actually see what's coming into fruition and out of fruition and focus better to make things come in that we want. And that's really where this science is headed, is because with the SE5, SE5 stands for Subtle Energy Fifth Version, which means we are working with subtle energies way down there in the subquantum area. And by doing that, we are affecting that. So out of all the machines that are out there, you have the most possibilities with the SE5. So yes, manifestation is something that's happening already, but it's way, way out on the cutting edge right now.
Right. Next question. Jeff, you mentioned that you'd been trained by Major Ed Dames, who is a professional remote viewer.
Correct.
And the question is it possible to slow and stop space and time and view into the future or the past?
Well, yeah, that's done all the time. That's nothing new. When you look at remote viewing allows you to look back and to look forward. Now, there have been many people who back before 2012 were saying they couldn't do a remote viewing past 2012. I didn't have any problem with it, and several of my colleagues didn't. So I think that was a self-limiting prophecy that people had. But yeah, you can go out in the future. One of the exercises we had in class was simply to remote view tomorrow's newspaper today. And you would target the main picture on the front page and what that picture contained. And, you know, we did it consistently. So the next day comes, you take a look at the paper, you compare it to your notes, and you see whether or not you got your hits. That's not rocket science. That's something the human organism is capable of doing. It was interesting, Drake was talking about, you know, how we lost some of those abilities over time. And this ties into directly what you're asking about, because when I started learning remote viewing, I had, 2 years prior to that, I had nearly died. I had a couple of weeks left to live, and they got me back with nutrition and chelation and a whole bunch of other good things like juicing. And I decided when I heard Major Ed Dames on a radio show once, I said, you know what, I better contact this guy because this looks like a skill set I need to have. So I contacted him, you know, and this is years after I left the military. And I said, you know, I really need to learn your technology. And he said, fine, get the DVDs, do them, then come do a course with me. So I did that, and I did the DVDs, I did the course, and it wasn't long after I had gone through and graduated that I'm driving down the road one day, and I had been reading some books by Ingo Swann, which those of you who know him know he was an exceptional psychic, and he was one of the original people in the first remote viewing project that the military did. And he had this fiction book called Starfire, I think it was, and it basically, the hero was somebody who was at one point up on top of the Empire State Building, and he projected his consciousness into the hardware of the building and down into the electrical system to have an effect. Now, what most people don't know is they did this with Ingo Swann in real life, and Ingo was able to influence a magnetometer buried deep below the earth, many, many, many floors away from him, and he literally was able to make a huge effect on it. And so I'm reading this book, and something struck me. I'm like, this is a fiction book, but that's pretty cool. But something kept nagging at my subconscious, which, of course, was the intuition, saying, hey, something's here. So I'm driving down the road one day, and I cross a bridge, and I'm at a long stoplight, and I'm thinking about the book. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to try this while I'm at the light. It's a long light. So I sat there, and I focused my mind, and anyone who's familiar with brain mapping knows that, you know, a taxi cab driver or an airplane driver or a bus driver, their mind maps their vehicle, so they know where the tail end is all the time and where the wings are and whatever. So I started doing that in my head, and I mapped the vehicle I was in. I mapped the outside of the vehicle, the road I was on right there at that spot, and then I started mapping forward all the way up to the stoplight and past. And I was able to reach out and project my consciousness out to those locations. So the light changed and we had to go, and I thought, okay, this is working, so I need to do something with this. So I'm driving down the road another day, and I'm in the country, just leaving my home. And I'm driving down a long straight stretch, and on the right-hand side is this beautiful hill of really green trees, and it was just gorgeous. And I'm a country boy. I love the outdoors. And so while I was driving, it might not have been the brightest thing to do, but I projected my consciousness into that forest of trees. And I thought, wow, that feels great to reach out there. What I didn't expect was a few seconds later, I got a massive communication back into my body, into my nervous system from the trees. So we have those abilities and skill sets. They're just dormant. And I think what happened was, is when I learned remote viewing, I started waking up some other parts. Years later, is the Shiva and Shakti neural stimulation systems to start strobing different areas of the brain to waking it up. And one of the areas I did was at the very back of the skull, down in the lower end, and I had a couple of coils that I put on there, and I put certain signals in. And within a couple of days, I had a dream that was very, very lucid, and I was standing in the middle of a square, and there was a group of people from Chechnya. And at the very end of it, they all shouted, boom. 6 months later, the Boston attack happened. Or, excuse me, the Boston false flag attack happened.
Yeah.
So my point being is you can reach forward in time, and if you stimulate the brain in the right way and start using it, you can have a lot of those experiences.
The more you use it, the more the brain expands for more information.
Just like a muscle.
Yeah. can this technology help astral projection and astral traveling?
Of course. Jerry, you've been playing with that a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. This is another product that we'll actually probably be releasing pretty soon for some feedback. And is essentially the entrainment aspect of the sleep cycle. And even just on that note, we've been getting a lot of inquiries about that, like some kind of sleep aid. And so just like with, you know, astral projection, lucid dreaming, anything that relates to that altered state, there's certain stages that your body physiologically should go through to have an optimal sort of flight, shall we say. And so this step, this gradual step down is something that we're working with and fashioning and testing right now to aid with sleep and the awareness factor of being asleep while asleep. So it's definitely something that, that's doable, and it does get, I mean, the fun thing, especially Jeff and I talk about this a lot because there is some really profound things going on right under our noses with this that could be even utilized on the astrals in a telepathic way because of the fact that we're apparently seeing a quantum network going on between whatever we entangle. And so this is where we're working with some of our other colleagues, including Tommy Hansen from Project Camelot, in futures and interfacing with that. So in the sense, one of the steps we're seeing is a way to verify this network intuitively by handing out certain pieces, say, that have the astral projection code on it, so to speak, and certain, maybe a particular temporal locality, and see if we can keep, if we can increase the likelihood of telepathic dream exchanging. So this is definitely a very high interest to me coming from the lucid dreaming background and experiencing a lot of precognition and telepathy, telepathic communication in the astrals and knowing that it happens and then the difficulty is recreating it. So that's one of the things that, you know, I know that I'm confident that this technology will be able to do is not only sleep aids, but then also things to help the that lucidity factor and the projection factor too.
If you'd like to begin training and doing some tune-up work ahead of time, there's an experiment that works very well. I've used it for many years, and it's quite successful. Basically, what you do is find somebody you've got a good connection with, a lover, spouse, a close friend, a business associate you trust, somebody. And then what you want to do is sometime during the day, focus on their face very, very, very intently. And again, like we were talking about, make sure you got a strong mind. You've cleaned everything else out of there. The only thing in your mind is their face. When you feel like you've got a good lock on that, then take a picture of anything you want in your mind and transfer it to that person. Just simply overlay the picture of whatever it is, pine tree, football, whatever. Send it to them. Do that for about a minute. Then go to the telephone. Give it about a minute. Go to the telephone. Call them up and ask them if they just thought of you. 90% of the time they're going to have. And ask them if there's any particular thought they had in mind. And then explain what you did and then have them do it back to you. By doing this, you're exercising the muscle, and you're getting certain areas of the brain opened back up again. And it's very simple to do. And if you would like some sleep aids or things like that, GABA is good. Valerian root helps you get to sleep. But one of the things I use that I have on my website, several. One of them Jerry has tested, and that's frankincense and myrrh. And he's had some nice launches with that. Just a natural resin. It's good for you. It's not going to hurt a thing. And the Boswellia sacra version of frankincense, and there's several different kinds out there, but that particular one has been proven by an immunologist to actually rewrite your genetic code back to normal. They don't know why yet or which compound in it does it, but it does. So it also helps with healing of internal tissue, and it moves qi through the blood very quickly. So it is a very important resin. Just to chew it up, put it under your tongue, and let it dissolve for a couple of hours. The other item that's on the website is gold and platinum solutions. These are monoatomic minerals in liquid form, and I think I've got them in 32-ounce bottles. And the way they dose them is the first day you take 2 ounces of platinum, then you, well, actually, you take an ounce of platinum, wait 15, 20 minutes, take an ounce of gold, and you don't hold it in your mouth. You just swallow it, and you keep about 15, 20 minutes or a half hour in between the doses. Okay, you do that in the morning, and then you do it again in the evening. Not too late at night. You want to do it like, 6 p.m., then go to bed around 9 or 10 p.m. But what you do is you bolster that for a couple of days in a row like that and put big doses in. And what will happen is your dream state just goes like a rocket. It also has side effects of yanking your pH up nicely, helping with communication for all your cells, and it helps with the electrolyte balance in your brain cells so your neurons fire better. So not only do you get more lucid dreaming and better dreams, but you wind up helping your body too. So those are some of the other things that can be done.
Right. We're near the end of that 3 hours. That completely vanished. I'd like to thank Jeff for his insight. I'm sure our listeners, I know most of our listeners have really enjoyed that. And thanks to Jerry as well. Either of you want to make a closing statement, you're welcome to do so.
Jerry, go ahead first.
Sure, thanks, Jeff. Yeah, thanks, everyone, for listening, and definitely thank you, Drake and Tom, for having us on the show here. It's been a great time. And everyone who is listening and wants to find out more, feel free to find us online at theholotree.com. That's H-O-L-O, like a hologram, so T-H-E-H-O-L-O, tree, T-R-E-E.com. And you can get a hold of us and see some of the things we got going on there, or find us on Facebook. And we're also going to be making an appearance in Los Angeles next weekend for the Conscious Life Expo. So anyone who's going to be in town for that, for any other speakers and coolness, feel free to make sure you come down and hang out with us, and feel free to ask any questions you might have that didn't get answered today. Thanks again, everyone. It's a lot of fun.
Very good. Thank you.
And
Jeff?
For my site, one thing I want everybody to go away with is remember, don't neglect your nutrition. That's the building block of everything else you're going to do. We use something called Spiriazan, which is on the site, and it's a high-potency supplement that's all algae-based, so anybody can use it, and it's loaded with vitamins, minerals, aminos, and it's 62% plant-based protein. So there's many things out there that'll help you. And if you want to see what we have on our site or take a look at some of the other things, go to www.jeftech.net. And what I would say is I far prefer people call me than email me. I have some vision issues, so if you call me, it's 570-219-2025. That's 570-219-2025, and I'd far prefer a phone call than an email, and I'll be able to help that way much more effectively. We can cover more.
Right. A quick yes or no, because if I don't ask this question, one of our members is going to be on my tail all night. For those with no money, is it possible to take a crystal and place it on a picture of you when you were healthier and then sleep with it at night for health benefits?
I agree.
It is. Right, okay. Thanks for that. Right. Thanks for that, Jeff. Drake?
Yes? I'll be here.
We've only...
listen to all the goodies that's coming out.
Yes, I'm hearing that, yes. Good.
One of the best things everybody can do is to learn. And you got a lot of information today that is, pretty technical in some ways and intense in others. So reviewing the archive of this show, going to the websites, things of this nature, I recommend it. Now, the other part of this is simple. Go out there and go for it. And what I say about that is, get her done.
Right, okay, thanks for that. Jeff and Jerry, big thanks to the two of them. Would you be welcome to another show at a later date if you can fit it in?
Of course.
Thank you very much. Right.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks to Jeff and Jerry again and Drake. My name is Thomas Williams, and I hope you all enjoyed it. I hope you all listened in, and you know, some of it is difficult to understand, but at least you, Jeff and Jerry explained it in very plain terms, I thought, and I hope you all found it helpful. We'll be back next Thursday or before. Bye for now.
We don't have a means to rise above and beat it.